It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. It's the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show right here on the air on Golf News Network. That's right, folks. You want to go to the golfnewsnetwork.com, and there you're going to find the radio tab to find shows every single week of mine. Saturday, Great American Golf. Monday, this show, the Lifestyle Show. And then after that, they go up to all the big audio platforms. Same thing with TV, Golf News Net. And then you go to the TV tab, you find my show, Match Play with Ray Adams, and then you go over. Lots of new things coming up, lots of new content coming up, and I certainly want to appreciate Ryan Ballingy for commandeering everything, founding and owning and running and doing just about everything you can imagine there at the Golf News Net. We appreciate him so very much. Great article there today on the PGA Championship and who he thinks might come out on top. And always some great writing and some great articles, along with many, many other things featured at the Golf News Network. All right. Dr. Bob is joining today. Greg is working all day. So we are going it solo, lolo, solo, lolo, lolo. Dr. Bob Denny, come in, Dr. Bob. You're wanted in radio surgery. Dr. Bob.
I'm here.
All right. There he is. So we're going to get going here. We have nothing but leaderboards and leaderboards and leaderboards and winners and winners this weekend. I watched a bunch of golf and a bunch of different golf. And I got to tell you, my heart, I'm happy for one guy, but my heart sunk after pulling for him all week and watching him be in the lead and watching him play some great golf. And then to come up short there at this PGA Tour event. Well, there were two PGA Tour events yesterday. I'm not talking about Myrtle Beach. I'm talking about Quail Hollow. And I'm talking about Alex Fitzpatrick. My heart just sank that he didn't win that tournament. He was right there. I think he should have won, but he choked up a bit there, and you can't do that in the final round. What do you make of it, Bob?
That's been the story for some of those favorites that we wanted to pull for all year. Who can close the best? And it turned out to be a guy who doesn't show much emotion. And Christopher Rayton. I think they pronounce it Rayton.
Okay. I listened to the different broadcasters pronounce his name. Who knows which one of them is right? But from Norway, we spoke about him recently.
Yes.
Went to the University of Texas at Austin for a short time, turned pro, went back to Europe, played on a couple of different tours. And then all of a sudden, we find him here in the USA, and he's been a rising star, and now he wins this big, huge $20 million purse. His share was, what, about $4 million or something? And wins the championship yesterday at Quail Hollow. And I got to tell you, something else about Rayton is that he wears Squares golf shoes. Now, everybody knows that I've been advertising and praising and talking up Squares golf shoes for years now. I started with Bob Winskowitz, the founder and owner of Squares golf shoes. And back when he was just getting started at the PGA show, and I've been with him since day one. And I continue to brag on Squares golf shoes for the square toe, for the wider toe box, so your toes lay flat, and it gives you more balance, stability. They've proven that with your ground force reaction, you get more distance out of the shoe. And he now has every imaginable type of a Squares golf shoe. He has every style you can think of. He's also gone into pickleball shoes. And I happened to watch the National Pickleball Championships yesterday on TV a little bit. And he also has baseball shoes, shoes for men, shoes for women. It's all there at squares.com. Now, I put in that plug for Squares, which I was already going to advertise for them today. But when you have their player that they have their agreement with to wear the shoe, and then he starts trending recently, but in the very short recent, and then at now all of a sudden wins a big, huge signature event. This is a big deal for Squares, and it's of course a big deal for Christopher Rayton. I watched him hit the ball, and you're saying he's kind of a quiet player, but aren't they all anymore? Look at Cameron Young. Look at Scottie Scheffler. They all just go about their business. They don't show much emotion, and they don't really even show it after the event. They just do their thing, and we're turning out golfers that. I think the tour wants them all to be, the poster players, but they're reluctant heroes, aren't they?
Yes, and my favorite who couldn't close was Ricky Fowler, and I really felt bad about that one because he had it in his chance to at least get in a playoff. He could have at least got there, but a missed putt on 16 and then the bogey on 18. I mean, that just that kind of day. I just felt bad that Ricky couldn't do it because it's really funny. When Justin Thomas won on that golf course back in 2017, I was on the green with the PGA staff as Justin was getting his trophy, and I was able to get a picture together of Ricky Fowler and them together, and Ricky was out there to cheer him. Ricky is a streaky player. He's under control with his driver most of the time, but he is not the kind of player that can close. And that's what I feel badly about because he has all the talent right there. It's just we all want somebody, don't we? A face we can cheer for and keep it a rivalry with other golfers and build that core like we had way back when we had Jack and Arnie and Gary and then Billy Casper. We like to see the core rise to the top and be challenged. And pull it out, but that was my moment. I really felt bad for Ricky.
Well, I was pulling for Alex Fitzpatrick all week, and he was right there. Alex should have won, I think. Can you imagine being in the shadow of your brother Matt for a number of years? Now, you've played a lot of golf, Alex has, and he's recently won a few. But even in the victory at the Zurich, Bob, it took Matt to make a what I would call a miraculous bunker shot. I don't know if he did it 50 times again, would he put it as close as he did for Alex to just tap it in and not only win on the PGA Tour, but get his PGA Tour card. And the doing of that then put him into, the next couple of years of play. And gave him a number of different, perks and benefits for being on the tour. Wouldn't it have been amazing, I kept telling myself, if Alex could have won on his own with no brother anywhere in sight and not only win, but win big at a signature event? It would have been amazing.
Yes, it
And
would have.
I
Yes, it would
was
have.
pulling for him all the way. But as I said, he choked up a bit. You can't, what did he shoot? Two over there? Yeah, you can't shoot two over on a PGA Tour event in the final round, I don't believe, and try to win, and especially against a surging Christopher Rytan.
I go back in history to another brother combination that I watched quite a bit growing up. Lanny and Bobby Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby Watkins never could get the victory on the tour. He was there many times. And his highest finish in a major was tied for fourth in the US Open in 1987. But Lanny was the star.
Yeah.
And you can think many times that Lanny was agonizing over the fact his brother couldn't get over the hump and just get one of those. And I saw that happening in real
Over and
time,
over, over and over. Yeah. Oh no, I
Then
remember that. I was quite young, but I do remember that. And he ended up going to the Champions Tour, and if I remember correctly, he finally did win one of them there. If I remember correctly, Bobby won one out on the Champions Tour. Is
Yeah,
that
he won
true?
it won actually won four.
Oh, he won four. Okay, good. Well, I knew he won out there, but I didn't remember how
He
many.
did get a senior major in this pocket. That was nice.
Okay. So
So,
Bobby
but those are
Watkins.
those moments that you sort of you hit back on, and you think about them.
Well, I
And
just,
it, yeah. Can I go, one more thing is in modern times, Jay and Lionel Hebert each won a PGA championship, and they're the
Well, I don't
brothers.
know if a lot of people remember who they are. That would be a
No,
good
no.
nugget. I mean, I
Yeah.
know the name.
Yes.
And when you say Hebert, we know that it's spelled Hebert, Hebert is pronunciation. And
Right.
out. And then we had another golf tournament happen where a guy named Herbert won, spelled the
Yes.
same way this weekend. We'll talk about that.
Yes,
And you,
HER. Yeah.
yeah, Herbert from Australia.
Right,
And
right.
go ahead, though, tell us about it.
Well, the first one was about Jay. Jay was a Ryder Cup captain, and 1960, and excuse me, 1971, he won the 1960 PGA Championship. But Lionel was last to win in match play, so that's way back in a different generation. But I was able to talk on the phone with Jay one time. I was getting captains together in Dallas, and they were hoping to meet Ben Hogan for a captain's dinner, and Ben never appeared. But Jay was a wonderful guy to talk to, and he was just a it represented a different era. But those were opportunities, and when you stick in your head about brothers and how well the brothers did. In Europe, brothers were more successful in different championships, but in the United States, that those come to mind in my lifetime. It's just the Watkins and the Hebert.
Well, all right. Now we had an alternative event, and what I liked about the alternative event at where Myrtle Beach
Yes.
was that they were featuring Brooks Koepka. He couldn't get the jobs done, but I'll tell you what, there was some good golf played over there. Not a lot of big names again, but tell us about that one.
Well, we interesting this week. We had two golfers, like you mentioned before, that came out of nowhere to sort of turn back the clock. Grant Snedeker, who is the President's Cup captain for this coming year, this year, won after a period of time of 2,821 days since his last victory. That's over eight. It's nearly 8 years, and he. Excuse me, a few years there, 2,821 days. That's what I'm trying to say. He won on a golf course, Ray, that I'm pretty familiar with because the Golf Writers Association of America used to offer championships every year at the Dunes Club in Myrtle Beach. And that is quite the golf course. It's strategic. It's got so many twists and turns on it, not to mention a bunch of alligators on the 13th hole. But it's just a wonderful test. And I was so happy that Brandt could pull that out. He just brings back a lot of great memories for himself, and he proved he could still play the game at age 45.
Brant Snedeker. Yep. Brant wins it. He shoots five under par to do it, winning by one over Hubbard. You've got some good golf out there, but there's many, many names that people simply just don't know who they are. And Koepka comes in at tied for 11th. He shot one under for a 12 under around total. But what about these alternative events? Is this the plan now? What do you know about alternative events at all these big signature events? Are we going to have one every time there's a signature event to keep these guys in a paycheck and let them have some sort of status? Or is this a kind of a one-off thing as far as we go, Bob?
My feeling is if they're going to contract the tour, they better have alternative events because no one can qualify for those signature events of the second tier group of players. We found that out. They got to give them opportunities to play. As simple as that.
And taking away the fall finish too.
That's right. Ray, there was one other champion I got to bring up in this little moment is Snedeker won after nearly 8 years. That's 2,821 days. Well, guess what? Boo Weekly won
Yes.
the Insperity Championship at in Woodlands, Texas, right? And he won after 12 years without a victory. 12 years, 11 months, 14 days. I wrote it down. That's 4,734 days. Amazing that he came back and pulled it out. So all credit to Boo on his tour, all credit to Snedeker on his.
Well, Snedeker has been a mainstay player. He's a veteran journeyman. Am I surprised that he won? A little bit, yes. But then when you look at the field, I'm not surprised. And he certainly was the best player this week. That's an understatement. But okay. So you've got Rytan, and we got Boo Weekly, and we have Snedeker. What happened to the ladies, Bob?
Well, a lady by the name of Gino Titicoon from Thailand beat her friend from China, Jin Ronning Yin, and Ronning Yin is a past women's PGA champion. She won by four strokes, and Gino has now 9 wins now on the LPGA tour. She's ranked number two in the world. Nelly Korda, number one, took the week off, and it's great to see those two now bring some more attention to the women's for their kind of little rivalry, so to speak.
Yep.
Gino is now heading into this week's Queen City tournament in Cincinnati, where Charlie Hull is a defending champion. And if people remember, a year ago, Gino four putted the last green,
I
and
remember.
Charlie won the title.
Yeah,
So
and
it
it
can
was
happen
kind
to
of a,
anybody. Happen to
well,
anybody.
Charlie won the title, but she lost the term. I mean, Charlie won, but
She birdied the last hole. Yeah.
well, yeah, and you got to give her a lot of credit for that. But when you four putt, you lose.
That's
She was
right.
her, it was her golf tournament. She lost the tournament.
Just like Alex lost this tournament with a double bogey on coming down the right, see?
There's no way to win when you do that. He gave it up.
Everybody in that level, it's a fine line of win is losses. There's a fine line.
It is, and you're looking at nerves, and you're looking at pressure, and you're looking at maybe some thoughts of what it's going to be like after you win $4 million and a signature event. Because, but I think his career is solidified now on the tour for Alex Fitzpatrick. Career is solidified for a long time to come.
He
He's
looks a
going to win a
little
gob of money. He's going to play
right.
great golf, and I fully expect him to win. And by the way, I'd love to see him win the PGA. What about you?
Well, I like to see that also. I like to see Cameron Young win the PGA, to be honest with you. As a son of a PGA professional, I like to see that happen. And I know the golf course fairly well. I was there in 2003 when John Jacobs won the Senior PGA Championship at Aronimink. It's a big man's golf course. It's got a lot of interesting approaches to it. It's Philadelphia is just a great place for golf. It's a great history location. And I just think that this year, Ray, who's going to be number 230? Let me give me this for you. Who's going to be 235? That means the 235th different major champion in history. Is there going to be a different one, or be it someone who's always run one or two? And that we have 89 people in history that have won more than one major. And 234 right now have won at least one since 1860. My point is, there's a lot of contenders out there. It's not just Scotty and Rory out there. There's a lot of people
Well,
contending.
not anymore with Cam
No.
Young lurking around.
Sure, those people can make a run for it, and this is the kind of opportunity they have. And because I know Kerry Hague pretty darn well for working on with him for all those years, that he will set this golf course up in a very unique spot to make it a great shootout at the end. And that's what the PGA of America has always been. It's been entertainment since way back when John Daly won in 1991. It's entertainment, and we can go on through all those years up to today of at least one magic moment, one great special time of all those years. I firmly say that, not just because I'm affiliated with the PGA of America, but just the fact that we've had great moments.
Well, the PGA Championship for me and my memory, and you help us out here because you're giving us nuggets as you go. But the PGA Championship was always touted as I was growing up as the greatest field of players. although it was kind of fourth place as far as the majors, in thought, you know, everybody focused on the Masters and the US Open and the British Open, and the PGA was kind of that fourth major. But it was touted as having the greatest field, the strongest field. Now, that's not that way anymore because you now have the Players' Championship that is contending for the strongest field and claiming they have the strongest field and pushing and trying to manufacture it as a major, which it's not and it should never be. It's another elevated signature, wonderful event that stands alone, but it is the Players. It's not a major. That's my opinion only. You can write to me, golfadams@msn.com. And tell me your opinion. Would love to get that. I'll put you in my big email list for the with, along with the other 250,000 golfers, men and women alike, in my email list, and I'll get you out my product guides and my holiday gift guides and news and notes and things like that. Golfadams@msn.com. Always you can write to me and give me your comments. But with all of that said, I think the PGA is in a position to where they might still be that fourth major, Bob. What do you make of it?
And why did they say fourth major?
Well, it's there are four majors, but it's the fourth one in the place of the favorites, is what I meant. You've got
Okay,
people
okay.
loving the Masters, maybe as number one. Even players
Yeah.
talk about winning the Masters as their life's dream,
Yeah.
and or the US Open, and then you've got the Open Championship, the British Open Championship, I'll say. And then you have the PGA, and it has been for a long time that major that's in kind of fourth place of people's favorites. Now, I'm just saying that because it's what I've been feeling for 30 years. Am I going wrong?
I'm going to put you back to history for a moment. Kerry Hague was hired in 1989, I believe it was, at the PGA of America as, and he became the premier setup person in golf for the events, and people will recognize that. The players recognize that. Tiger even recognized how good it was. But here's the other thing: he also became a person that screened the applications and those that came into the PGA Championship. Those favorites you speak of, the PGA of America since 1991 has consistently been among the top one or two in all majors, including the Players' Championship, for the most highest world ranked players in one event.
And
Sure,
that's what I talked about.
there's 20 PGA Club professionals. Yes, it is their association.
Sure.
This is their shop. The Masters is a closed shop. That's what they're thinking. It's selective. It's elite. Sure. But every tournament except the Players' Championship has amateurs within the field. The PGA of
Well,
America
that's
has
true.
never, ever had amateurs in this field. So that's my point. But I go back to the other things, those special places it's been. It's been around the country. It got rid of match play in 1958. It developed the first of 18-hole CBS coverage. It kept bringing and bringing and bringing it together. It had John Daly. It had Glory's last shot with McKeel. It had Tiger Woods' great match play. I call it match play against Bob May at Valhalla, which will stand forever as one of the greatest moments I've ever seen on a golf course. It had Rory at twilight hitting a shot because he was waved on up by Ricky Fowler, even though Phil didn't like it, and he got there and before
Oh, we've had the
nighttime.
greatest finishes, some of the greatest finishes in the
Yes.
history of the game.
Oh,
But go, I
yes.
want you to go back and drill down on Bob May and Tiger Woods. Remind us of that as a nugget.
Okay, the year 2000. Tiger Woods was looking to win the Tiger Slam. And who was holding him outside the door? The guy he used to compete against in California events when he was younger, Bob May. They went after it. And Bob May, out of nowhere, shoots 66-66 at the end for the weekend. They get into a playoff and they go to the first four-hole playoff in the PGA Championship history at Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. And Tiger walks in that. And you see it forever at pointing that ball into the hole. And then Bob May makes incredibly recovery shots to stay in the playoff. At the tail end, Tiger's in a bunker, up and down, he's going to get the birdie. We know that. Bob May is on a below tier on this amoeba-striped green, and he almost knocks in a 40-footer. What 1 inch from going in? It's the greatest moment. Tiger had to make, folks, a birdie putt on a really rough-looking green on 18 just to get in the playoff. And that was one of those moments. It had all the drama, had all the attachment to it. Nike branded that as one of the greatest moments that they're ever going to have, up to the point when Tiger hit that chip shot at the Masters, that went into the hole in the last roll. But this was that moment, and anybody who was there, anybody who watched it, anybody was there. I knew the rules official that almost stepped on the ball for Bob May on the playoff. I know a gentleman that watched the ball go down the hill, even though Ken Venturi was saying on television, it looks like somebody touched that ball. He didn't, nobody touched the ball. It went down the hill. Tiger was able to get out of there and make a recovery shot. So it had every drama, everything. I can talk for hours on it, but it was just wonderful golf. That to me is the essence of a major, that one.
And who won?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods won. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that. That was 100 years ago, 2000, and I do remember it because I was just beginning these radio shows. They are now going into their 26th year, and I was just beginning everything as far as radio and television came along. 16 years ago, now 16 seasons on TV. So, with all of that said, we have a wonderful week in front of us. Tell us a little bit more about Aronimink.
Well, Aronimink is,
Other
let's see,
majors there, what's happened?
the last time we had a major there for the PGA America was 2003 when John Jacobs won the Senior PGA Championship, and he beat Bobby Watkins by 2 strokes. And it is one of the original members of the Golf Association of Philadelphia's clubs that has held its own for many, many years, and it's I think the best thing I can tell you about it, it's well, let's see. Get right into it. Gary Player won in 1962, Ray, at a PGA championship on the golf course. That was the last PGA championship, the last regular major that has been hosted on the golf course. And what's unique about that for the Wanamaker Trophy, it's the first time that a host site has been on the trophy alongside the winner's name in history. Prior to that, anybody who won the PGA Championship, their home club was up there on their name, right next to it. So it could be Ray Adams out of Scottsdale with it's your home club down the street, and your name on the trophy at that time. That's how it used to be. Then it became the site, and that's what Gary Player won the first of his two PGA Championships there in the golf course. Some other
What do
big
you,
names. Go ahead.
well, I was going to ask you a quick question to stop there for just a moment.
Sure.
You've got a Donald Ross designed golf club, but Gil Hance has come in and renovated it with a lot of different changes. So what do you make of the course right now, given that renovation?
Well, I don't think he destroyed the Donald Ross touch to it. I just think he just opened up some more views. Whenever Gil Hance goes into a golf course, to me, he's opening up the vistas for you, but then he's tightening that when you get to the green. I think he's giving you the natural flow of it. He goes back to the original blueprints to check and make sure that the bunkers are look identical or keep as close we can to modern standards for bunkers and things like that. Donald Ross routing is not going to be destroyed or anything like that. It's just I just think he just has a little different touches to it. And I watched him how he attended Pinehurst number two, for instance. Well, he turned that into the natural grasses type of thing back then, rather than the tabletop greens that we were most accustomed to in the early part of the 20th century. So those are
All
things I
right,
noticed.
let's
But
get to the
Aronimink's just a big golf course, like I said, and it's got a lot of opportunities for people. So
let's look at the the players as far as coming into the tournament, and we'll be back on Saturday right in the middle of it, and we'll have a lot more information from the first two rounds. But for today, Bob, and looking forward now, who do you like?
who do I like? I can't give you one person, but I can give you a couple names.
Well, let's go way out on a limb.
I I like Cam Young, and I like Rory.
Do you really?
I like those two just by the way they attack a golf course, and I think they're both pacing themselves pretty well. And I think Rory, he gets his little rest, he gets the time in with the family. I think that he's doing the same thing that Scotty's been doing, but I think he's going to start a golf course a little bit stronger maybe than a 70 or a 71, you know what I mean?
There's a number of them. Look, we've said this, I've said this for 25 years or more. Any player in any given week can beat everybody else. And I don't care what your name is. You could
Sure.
be the lowest ranked player on the planet and come back and beat everybody, all the big names. And it happens, and it has happened, and it will continue to happen. It'll be once in a while, but it will happen. So, of course, we don't know. We never know who's going to just go out there and play some stellar golf, call it in the zone golf, whatever. But as far as statistics, as far as players, as far as it's like investing in a mutual fund or in some sort of a stock. You can never predict the future, but you can certainly go on past performance
Right.
when you make an investment. And we're doing that right now. Let's go on past performance. You've got to put Scottie Scheffler in there. So if
Sure.
there's five players that
Yeah.
we say will win this tournament,
Sure.
Scottie Scheffler is one. Cam Young is the other. You've got to put Cameron Young in there.
Fitzpatrick's in there.
I think you can put, you mean Matt or Alex or both?
Matt's in there.
I would put Alex above Matt because Matt didn't play very good at all, and Alex is on fire right now.
You think
But
Matt's gonna
okay.
have Matt can have 1 week off, can he?
Oh, well, of
He was
course. Yeah.
he finished one under in the tournament
Yeah.
at the Truist.
Yeah. No,
He
that's fine.
wasn't kicked out. Patrick Cantlay's playing stronger right now. We know
Yeah,
that.
no.
We know him.
I don't think he's in
And
the top five. Who else is in the five?
I
You
would
like
say,
him. You like him, and he played well, but didn't get it done.
I think Shoffley's in there somewhere.
I
And
think Ricky Fowler's there.
I just don't think he closes, but I think he's in there somewhere.
Well, he's a high time he wins.
Yeah. When he does, the floodgates may open. That we may see that. I'm looking at a lot of the favorites, Ray, the projected field. I see names that they've tossed up there. Russell Henley, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludvig
Well,
Åberg, Robert McIntyre, and Siwoo Kim are in there as well.
and they can all win it without any
Yeah.
problem at all. They can every
Right.
one of them win it if they go out and play great golf, and the others, sort of, play hopscotch a little. But let's go back to one player. If I'm not mistaken, there is a player that is looking for the career Grand Slam.
Yes, right.
And I think he could do it too. What about you?
I just don't think he has the game right now. I
You
really
don't
don't.
think Jordan does?
No, he is so inconsistent. So
Yeah.
inconsistent. I really like him. That'd be a wonderful story. I'm not cheering against him. I would not bet the farm on him right now.
Who do you want to win?
I want Cameron Young to win this tournament.
Do you really?
I do. I
I
want to
would.
get that off his back and get that out there. Get that out there. That's my man.
I want either Alex Fitzpatrick to win it or I want Ricky Fowler to win it. It would
It
be a
has
massively big
nothing to do
deal.
with the last week, right? Nothing
It
to
has
do.
everything to do with last week.
Because
Everything.
of his brother, Matt.
I think because that he needs one on his own, alone.
Well, I think you'll get one. I don't think it's going to be a
Well,
major. I think you'll get a victory.
I don't know. I mean,
He has every tool in his toolbox to get a victory somewhere.
You don't think it's
That's
a major, though?
I wouldn't bet right now it'd be a major. I would say others people have better chances, Ray, to be honest with you. I'm looking at
I'm just
consistency.
telling you, I'm going to root for Matt and I'm going to
That's
root
all
for
right.
Ricky.
I'm not against you.
And
I'm not
listen, if
against you.
Cam Young wins it,
Yeah.
I'll be a happy guy. I love Cam Young. But what about this guy, Raitan? He's on fire.
He was this past week, that's for sure.
Well, he's played trendingly upwards.
Yes, he has. Would you say Cam has trended upwards too
Oh, yeah.
since the Players Championship?
Absolutely, has
Yeah.
he?
He hit the greatest
But
drive
we've been watching
I've ever
Cam
seen.
Young try to win for the last 4 or 5 years, and he should have won
Yeah.
numerous times. He finally broke through.
He could have he could he was facing Cam Smith. Cam Young was placing Cam Smith at the St. Andrews at the Old Course. And what did Cam do? He drove the green and eagled the putt, and he
Yeah.
just lost by one stroke.
All right. We're going to be back with
Yeah.
Dr. Bob Denny
Yes.
in just a moment. And we're going to be back with yours truly, your humble correspondent. And make sure you write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Can't wait for you to do so. I'll put you on my big list. You'll get all my correspondence and emails and product guides and gift guides and all of that. And you can put in all of your wants and opinions and what have you on all of the talk. Right here on the Golf News Net and beyond on all of your favorite audio platforms coming to you. When we come back, we're going to talk about some comments Brandel Chamblee had. Bob's going to tell us about what happened at LIV Golf this week. They're in Virginia with about 3,000 attendees. We'll find out about that, but they are on Fox Sports. That's a massive, massive network that has invested and is producing LIV Golf out there for you to watch. I watched it over the weekend. Herbert wins. Bob will report when we come back. And then we'll talk a little bit about a famous golf course that is probably one of the most, I think, heartfelt stories in American golf history, maybe global golf history. And we're going to be back in a moment. Please listen to these great messages from our sponsors. I need them, you need them, you want them, and they want you. Back in a moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. So good.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. The Monday Golf Lifestyle Show is right back on the air. Ray Adams here with you the rest of the hour. Dr. Bob Denny is with us. Craig Renshaw is a working man teaching today, working as a PGA professional, one of the 30,000, and they're going to be represented all week long at this PGA Championship in Aronimink Golf Club. We can't wait for this. The live from shows every night from the Golf Channel will be coming to you, so you can certainly enjoy some commentary there. And one of those from the Golf Channel, Brandel Chamblee, had some comments when he put in his two cents to the PGA Tour, and he's always very complimentary and stands in defense of the PGA Tour forever, but he did have some interesting comments this past week. We'll talk about that in a moment. Then we're going to go to a wonderful story in the history of American golf. But first, Dr. Bob, what about Liv? They're playing, they're loving it, and they're on Fox Network. What about
Live and Let Die. They are. They
it?
played. They played at the Virginia at the Trump International in Washington, D.C. I've been to that golf course and I watched a senior PGA Championship there with Bernhard Langer beat Vijay Singh back about 12 years ago. And this time, Lucas Herbert, Herbert, not Hebert. Herbert, Lucas Herbert of Australia, 30 years old, had battled the flu, and he comes out and beats Sergio Garcia. Remember that name? Sergio
Oh,
Garcia by four strokes and
he won
wins
by
it.
four strokes, and he said he was sicker yesterday morning when he woke up than he had been all week, playing with the flu.
Beware of the sick golfer is an old adage in golf.
Oh, yeah, or the injured golfer,
Or the injured golfer
yeah,
too.
they lie big time.
So
So he
congrats.
sandbagged his way to the victory. It was his first on the LIV Golf Tour. He won his whatever millions. What is it? 4 million they win when they win an event, and
Pocket change, they call
yeah,
it.
pocket change. And that's why we have signature, or they call elevated events on the PGA Tour. It's the only reason we have them. And
I
now
thought it
we've
was, I
had.
thought it, sorry to interrupt you there. One thing that stood out to me, Ray, was one of the persons, a bogey-free 62 by Anthony Kim.
Anthony Kim shoots a 62, and Dustin Johnson, who's the captain of the team, said, "I was tired. Anthony shot an unbelievable round. I put him out to go play in the playoff. They had to have a playoff for the team championship." I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I was entertained. I must say, I was entertained. Now, I don't like the way they put the dead gum leaderboard up on the screen. I don't like that. Some of the commentating is foo-for-ah, but I had to say that I watched a bunch of it and I enjoyed it, Bob.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see that kind of entertainment come on once in a while and on that. But I am totally distracted. I cannot follow it very well, to be honest with you.
It is a bit distracting. Herbert now gets a bye into the U.S. Open because of his win.
That's right. That's right.
DeChambeau goes, Rahm goes, and now Herbert goes from the LIV Tour.
Yeah. Well, they've earned enough points, regardless. It was a 72-hole event, and that's why they have the opportunity to earn those points. So,
And we have a big time U.S. Open coming up next month, ending on Father's Day around the 21st of June, I think. And it's a Father's Day is a little late this year, but that said, don't worry, everybody. My big, huge summer product guide is going out in the next few days, and it'll be there in plenty of time for Father's Day gifts and for lots of great products for you to look at for your summer golf, because we're all back to golf now. I think the weather that's been weird and bad over the last couple of months during the spring, all over the Midwest and the Northeast and all of that. I think all the golf is open. I think we're getting ready to have a massive summer and play well into the fall. And my gift guide is going out, my product guide is going out, and you're going to see some new fun things there, plus some standard things there like Squares golf shoes and Tour Edge golf and things like that. All right. So back to Liv. Herbert gets to go to the US Open. We're done with that. Now, what about Mr. Brandel Chamblee having some comments for the PGA Tour that were what I would say were kind of not unusual for Brandel? He's very outspoken, but they were, I think, a little controversial. I'm not sure that Mr. Rolap was welcoming of the comments. What do you make of it?
well, some of those I kindly agree with Brandel on
But what were the three? Tell us the three.
well, he wanted to restore meritocracy
Yes.
within to the golf world again, where you not just have no cuts, you'd have to earn your way in for the weekends. I totally agree with that. That's been the essence of golf on the professional tour for generations.
So number one, elevated events and all events should have a cut line.
Right.
The number two, There should be 125 players. Go ahead.
Expand the field sizes to at least 120, 125, rather than exclusive fields. Okay.
Yes.
And expand the opportunity for earning tour cards. Rather return to at least 125, not 100, because you're just taking away the careers of a number of people,
Well,
opportunity
and
for
not only
that.
that, he talked about the competitive level. You're taking away competition.
That's exactly it. Exactly it.
You leave off another 25 players that on any given week they could win a tournament, you're leaving off competition.
That's right. That's right. Which means we have to have some kind of a event that goes along with the signature events in the calendar. You have to have something. And if Craig was on this program, I think he'd say you got to give opportunities to people because otherwise they have nothing, you know. And the essence of golf, it was how well you can earn your way and grind your way in to earn it. Some of the most drama we ever saw on television was people trying to make the cut for the weekend. That was some of the good golf we're watching on Thursdays and Fridays.
So with that said, I agree with Brandel. I don't think we could I don't think anybody would not agree with him. Let's get some more tour cards out there. Let's get some more players. Let's put a cut line in these elevated events. Let's get back to PGA Tour golf history. I 100% agree with him.
Can I give you a little nugget now about another something different?
Well, we've been getting these secret nuggets all along
I'm
today, so give me one that's a right out, standout, stone cold nugget.
gonna give you a head golf professional at Aronimink who was there for 1 year. He was hired by along with his brother, and they were initially come in because they were given an opportunity to play nearby at Baltimore Country Club for the U.S. Open at that time. The year was 1899,
Wow.
and the golfer, John Shippen, Shippen,
Oh,
John
no,
Shippen
wait a minute.
is
Now that's a familiar name to me.
that's right. And he was the first American-born club professional, not from the UK. His father was a black minister, and they were living on a reservation near the Shinnecock Reservation in Southampton, New York. John played in an 1896 U.S. Open, was tied for the lead after 36 holes, and took an 11 on one of the holes, finished tied for fifth. Otherwise, history had been a lot different by the time that U.S. Open was over with in Shinnecock. John was hired in 1899 by Aronimink Golf Club to be their head professional. He went for one season, then went off and went back to the New York area and finished out his career. John Shippen.
Wow, what a nugget. That's a great one too. Well, let's keep going. There was a wonderful article, and there are so many different things happening. She was a guest of mine for a full episode on Match Play with Ray Adams Television. I'm talking about the wonderful, the delightful, and the so accomplished Renee Powell and the story of Clearview Golf Course. Now, Bob, I'm going to let you take off because you know all the details. And they've got big doings going on. And I watched a video about it, and we're going to get Renee back on the show. And I talked to her at the PGA merchandise show a couple of 3 months ago. And she said, yes, I'll come back on with you at that time. Well, it's that time. And then we're also going to be spiffing up her episode, putting in some photos. And that's going to be posted up for everybody to watch at the Golf News Net and then out on all the big video platforms out there. So, Bob, what's going on with Clearview Golf Course? First of all, what is it? Where is it? Why is it historical? And about Renee?
Clearview Golf Club in East Canton, Ohio, about 14 minutes from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, off the Lincoln Highway, is the only golf course designed, built, owned, and operated by a black person, and that is the late Mr. William Powell. And Mr. Powell was a PGA of America Hall of Famer. He got his off his his. He was the man who came from World War II to try to build a golf course because he was not welcome at golf courses in his area. He built one. He went to the banks and they said they never heard of a GI loan. Ever? No, never heard of a GI loan. Well,
Oh,
so
really?
he was kept being turned down. So
America was built on GI loans.
he had two black physicians in his area and his brother who took out a second mortgage on his home to help him get the golf course started. He paid back everybody on that. In 1970, excuse me, 1948 is when it. Excuse me, it was opened. They built it in 1946. So right now we're celebrating the 80th anniversary of that golf course. It is on the National Register of Historic Places by the Department of Interior. His daughter, Renee Powell, became the second African American woman on the LPGA Tour, following Althea Gibson, who was the first, and she came from Wimbledon tennis fame over. And then Renee came on, and Renee played in 250 lifetime events in professional golf. Later became one of the greatest ambassadors for the game, was embraced by the British initially. She got a doctorate, honorary doctorate of degree at the University of St. Andrews. She is an honorary member of the original women's class at the Royal and Ancient Golf Club. She's got a locker in the Royal and Ancient Clubhouse, and she's the only American in history to have a campus building named in her honor at the 600-year-old University of St. Andrews. Right now, Ray, she is a member of 15, 1-5 Halls of Fame. I know of
Unbelievable.
nobody in history that's ever had that many honors like that. Renee has done everything she could to try to sustain and build that, keep the legacy going of her father at Clearview Golf Club. I encourage everybody who's listening to me to go to clearviewgolfclub.com for more information, see a wonderful calendar of events, learn more about it. And understand that what she has always been trying to do is bring what the world of golf to back to Clearview, where her father said the only thing that matters, the only color that matters is the color of the greens. And I think it's important to see the globalization of the game, but also understand that what she had to go through while she was at Ohio State, what she had to go through in the early part of her career in the civil rights eras on the LPGA tour. She had death threats. She had a number of things happening in her life. She overcame that. She showed resilience. And all she's right trying to do is just raise the funds to try to keep that golf course alive long after she is gone. I want to also say there's one person who's unsung in this whole story, and that's her brother, Larry. He's a lifetime member of the Golf Course Superintendents Association. And he, despite his health troubles, has done a wonderful job of keeping that golf course alive. Last year, 2025, they got automatic irrigation on that golf course. Never
Wow.
happened in this entire history. They have it now.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of happenings to celebrate their anniversary, and we'll get Renee on and talk all about it. As I said, she was a guest of mine on a full episode of Match Play with Ray Adams TV. We're finalizing the editing of all of that. We'll get that posted up so everybody can see it everywhere, including my YouTube channel. Don't forget to go to Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube using Match Play TV, all one word, small letters, Match Play TV. That gets you to my Instagram, Facebook, and my YouTube channel, where so many videos, so many episodes, so many things are up there. LinkedIn, you can go to my LinkedIn site, and all you do is find Ray Adams. That's the way you find me on LinkedIn, Ray Adams. Bob, thank you so much today. What an amazing, what a great show, and lots of information, education, entertainment for the folks. And we kept it fun and informing, and that's what we're all about. Yeah, once in a while, I get a little miffed about this or that, and I sound off, but I'm in a relatively good mood today, aren't I?
We'll see how the weekend goes as we get close to the PGA.
We'll see how the week goes. Everybody enjoy watching the PGA. I'm going to make a couple of sponsor announcements, Bob, right now, and
Okay.
thank a couple of my local sponsors in my anthem only segment. Don't forget that. I want you to go play some golf up in Sedona. The weather is beautiful at Canyon Mesa Country Club. Don't forget Legacy Golf Resort. Go to golflegacyresort.com and then Springfield Golf Resort. My goodness, what a great golf course. They're calling it the best little course in Arizona. Don Ray, who, by the way, will not be at the PGA Championship this week. He's the president of the PGA of America. He will not be there. He will not give away the trophy. They've got him pretty much in what I call media jail. But we'll work through that and have Don on in the fall as he finally retires from being the president of the PGA of America and goes into the honorary president status. He's got a wonderful golf course, Augusta. We love Don's, he calls it the prettiest little golf course in the valley, and it is a beautiful little course. But we sure do love Springfield down there as well. The Legacy Golf Resort, Canyon Mesa Golf Club. These are all just fantastic places to play golf. And you want to get it in because the weather is turning hot quickly. Although we're going to go down in temperature here in the Phoenix area. But as you go, don't forget my anthem only segment where I want to thank Ziggy's Coffee. They're right over there by Walmart on the west side of the I-17 freeway here in Anthem, which is North Phoenix, Arizona. And I also want to thank Dennis and Lisa Jones at dljoneshomes.com for being award-winning, wonderful realtors in the Anthem area. They have been with me for a number of years as a sponsor. We'll have them on soon and talk about them, as well as we're also going to be talking about Homeland Brew Company. You want to go to Homeland Brew, C-O, HomelandBrewCo.com. They're over there again on the west side of the I-17 in Anthem up here in North Phoenix. They're a craft tap room, a bottle shop. They're family oriented. They've got the food trucks. They've got a big kids playground area right inside the brew company. TVs, they've got everything for you. You can take out all of it at homelandbrewco.com. And you're going to just love having some fun times over there. Big family atmosphere. I also want to thank a wonderful restaurant. If you want original, authentic, from Vietnam pho soup, if you want all of the ingredients, all of the various authentic dishes, they have everything you can think. They have a full bar, they have dessert, but they've got every entree that is all authentic Vietnamese. And then they have the pho, people say, but really you pronounce it pho. And they have the pho beef and chicken and shrimp, vegetable. They have the brisket, seared steak, the ribs, the grilled pork pho, the grilled chicken, seafood pho. And they even have a kid's pho. All of that in a big bowl of soup with all of the goodies in it. It is fantastic. It is wonderful. And we love pho legend right there in the Fry's parking lot, right there on Daisy Mountain here in Anthem up in North Phoenix. Believe me, all of these golf courses and these places are worth the drive. You want to make sure you do that. All right, folks, have a great week. We're going to enjoy the PGA Championship and some other golf going on. And I'll be back with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.